when they come to my house. Have a tomato, Plato. Here's Catch Toradora.
Oh, Dora.
Try the Bologna Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Everybody eats.
Welcome to Say Yes to the Chef, where we interview chefs and restaurateurs, food producers, cookbook authors, and many local community organizations. I'm Janice Escott, a certified Cordon Bleu chef and instructor. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. I'm Kelly Taylor, a natural chef and instructor. How are you today?
I'm great today. It's a beautiful day.
It is.
Here in North Carolina. Isn't it, Terry?
It so is.
And we have with us Terry McLernan. She is the food fairy, the famous food fairy, because you've been around for
19 years. It'll be 20 at the end of this year.
Okay, yeah. Almost 20 years. So you're kind of a household name because so many people know you and know about you. So tell us about how this all began. Who are you and how did this start?
Well, I was living off the land in the 70s and had a lot of time to grow food and cook food and experiment with food. I was a vegetarian at the time. And that's really where I started my love of food, because I was growing it and I was living next to it and having my hands in the dirt. And then as life progressed and I moved out of that environment and actually remarried after a divorce, he ate meat. So then I had to learn how to eat meat and cook meat and did a little catering from home at the time. People were asking me for things like beef tenderloin. I remember frantically calling my mom on the phone, like, what is it?
What do I do with it? I have no idea.
And then moving on, once I moved to North Carolina 19 years ago, I had been a mom, really. I had taught dance. I had done a little cooking at home. I cooked for a summer sock theater. I performed in the summer sock theater also.
Oh,
and I served cool. in their cabaret as a waitress. Anything I could do to make a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came here. I was like, okay, well, I know that I'm comfortable in a kitchen, any kitchen. Because at a party, I was the one that would always be in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like us.
Yeah. We'd be right there with you.
Yeah, you didn't have to hang out with too many people. You knew what needed to be done. You didn't feel hesitant to open cupboard doors or dishwashers.
Yeah.
So I put an ad in the Village Advocate that was popular at the time in 1996, saying that I was a personal chef. And I got two calls. And that one call lasted for a year. And the second call, I'm still cooking for her to this day.
Oh,
that's remarkable.
Every Tuesday, except I moved her to tomorrow.
Well, you'll have to thank her for it.
Yes, please do that.
And the variety that the Food Fairy specializes in is because over the years, over my lifetime, I've had a variety of different interests and loves in food. Feeding children, feeding friends, feeding vegetarian husband and a meat-eating husband. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyone that happens to come along and is hungry and wants to sit at your table.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a lot of people over a lifetime or over 20 years. It really is. And people are so appreciative of the good food. Haven't you found that to be true?
Oh, absolutely.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
How many people will say, this is wonderful, and how did you do it? And they are so appreciative of that.
And that feeds us, right?
It does.
It feeds our creative spirit. Mm-hmm. It feeds our nurturing spirit. We want to just give more.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, our very appreciative clients who are articulate with that.
Mm-hmm.
Every week or every time we go to cook for them, because it could be weekly or monthly or every other week, it's like I'm trying to outdo myself. Right? Oh, what did I do last time? And trying to plan a menu is challenging because it's, what do I not cook? Right? The world is...
I know. There's a lot to
offer.
So
much food.
So much.
You must have a large database now of recipes and menus that you have created.
I have a large database of menus because it's, you know, going on 20 years of menu plans, and they've all been saved. Mm-hmm. We've been through all the different phases of, you know, low fat, no eggs, you know, all that stuff.
It's just a history of food. It's fascinating.
Recipes, because when I started the business, I didn't anticipate being around this long.
Yes.
It was not that I didn't think I would be. My vision was just so immediate. I was trying to support, as a single mother, I was trying to support my family. So that's how I started. with this ad in the paper. So it was just getting through this week mm-hmm. and this month paying the mortgage. So thinking 20 years ahead was not really in my head. Mm-hmm. So I didn't start really saving a database of recipes. Once I did, I started putting them in notebooks. Mm-hmm. And now I still have many notebooks that need to be scanned mm-hmm. and filed. But now we do save our recipes, and we're all rewriting our recipes because there's six other chefs who work for the Food Fairy. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we actually just collectively decided on was a pay scale for rewriting your recipe.
Oh, that's interesting.
So we may find a recipe for chicken enchiladas, and Jan actually one day created chicken uncharred lattas.
Oh, I love that. So, and Katie, Kelly has had some influence about Jan.
Oh, yes, but she's really creative. She was a student of mine. Yeah.
Kelly knows.
That's
her
a really clever name.
When I saw it in the client's book the next time, I was floored. I was like, "That's why did I not think of that?"
Very sweet.
Yeah, so then Jan will rewrite that mm-hmm. and she'll actually get reimbursed from the Food Fairy mm-hmm. for the time it takes to rewrite that, mm-hmm. you know, put it in our database.
Mm-hmm. So rewriting is an important part of that. I hadn't really thought about that. Over 20 years or 19, things have really changed. What have you experienced in that time? What kinds of changes have you actually experienced?
Well, you know, the major is the fat thing, I think, mostly. The no fat, throwing away egg yolks and mm-hmm. not being allowed. My very first client wouldn't let me cook with nuts, put nuts in anything because it was a fatty food. This is 1996.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know. I personally never really fell for any of those. Moderation, right?
We didn't either.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear you say that, but that's true.
Well, no, I did fall for the low fat when I was in college.
You might in college,
yeah,
but yeah.
I did. I totally was on board with that in uh-huh. college, which I mean, paid for it for years after.
Yeah.
I did. That is not a good diet.
No, it isn't.
Well, anyway, go ahead.
It's really interesting because even though I saw that and read it and kind of paid attention to it, the only place that I remember thinking that it should be low fat was in dairy products. Other than that, I couldn't, it just didn't work somehow. I always thought that there were redeeming qualities in mm-hmm. food that were slightly fatty. And I always thought to myself, well, I will eat that, but not very much.
Perfect.
And so that's really how I did my eating, my diet, or whatever. I don't like the word diet. It means deprivation to me. But anyway, I really feel that the changes are so wonderful now that people are realizing that normalcy is the best thing that we can do.
And balance, yeah.
And understanding our own bodies.
And that's it. That's really right where it is. And that's one of the things that I've learned is seeing that for one person, they need to be a vegetarian, and that doesn't mean we should all be vegetarians or vegans,
yes, right.
Or that nuts, you know, you have nut allergies. And just recently heard of we're doing a party on Friday night. Someone's allergic to cinnamon.
Yes,
it does come from
a tree.
I
know someone who's allergic to cinnamon, so I understand that. And Kelly doesn't eat gluten.
No, and I just taught a class this morning, actually, before here, on gluten-free. I was teaching about gluten-free, and uh-huh. someone asked me, you know, just about, well, is it healthy to eat these other grains, you know, because I was talking about all the other thousands of grains
right.
that there are.
Right.
And, you know, is it good for me, you know, what should I include that in a good, healthy diet? And there isn't a magic answer. You know, every
That's
person
right.
has what is good for them. Mm-hmm. And there isn't a way for me to give you an answer that's for that person and that person and that person. The only way for you to know is what is good for you is to try things out and to become more aware of what you're eating and how you feel when you eat them. There are really quite good tests now, blood tests for allergies and things like that. But there isn't a magic answer.
I wish the doctors would tell everybody that, what you just said to her, you know, that... you've got to figure it out for yourself and for your body.
Yeah, but people don't think that because we've been trained, I think, to say, okay, well, what's the diet we're supposed to follow, right? That's how we get public health information. This is the diet, eat this amount of this, this amount of that. But that is not, that's for a general blanket kind of statement. And then within that, you need to start to learn what's good for you. And there is no little quick way around it other than just to pay attention when you eat.
Know yourself.
I wish people would pay attention when they ate and they would notice when they don't feel good. I think so many people just don't even make those that connection.
The connection.
That it is food that is something that's not making them feel well.
Yeah.
And there could be a lot of reasons why. But, you know, it's, you know, not only what you're eating, but the quality of what you're eating, which is a big issue.
Do you think we could say everybody should eat more vegetables?
Well, that's an easy one. That's true. Vegetables are very easy to say you should eat more vegetables. But unfortunately, most people don't want to do that. No. They never ask, can I eat 3 more cups of vegetables? I've never had anybody ask me that.
We have a client every other Friday for years, 5-6 years. And the wife travels a lot. So she has to eat and get things that she can microwave, like in the little kitchen. She doesn't do Lean Cuisine. They actually take our food to their house in Washington, D.C.
Good.
Wow. Yeah, because they don't want to eat out. But anyway, she has such a great way of getting more vegetables. Everything that even we make, they when they warm it up, they put it on a big bed of baby greens. So they're each getting probably another 2 or 3 handfuls of baby greens. I think that's just brilliant.
It's a really good idea.
I sneak greens into everything. I use greens like you use herbs.
Well, yeah.
So, like, you know, I'm always chopping those, mincing them, and putting them into everything. So,
yeah, I puree collards or greens and put them in my chili. You can't even see them.
No,
you can't.
They're all mixed up in the food processor. They cook.
No, it's great. Yeah. I put it in all my sauces, and yes, it's fantastic. My bolognese I just made the other day had chard in it.
Yay.
Yes, everything. I mean, it is not that difficult. You just have to think about doing it. And
it is time consuming.
Yeah.
When we cook for our vegetarian families, it definitely takes a lot more time than just making simple proteins, lamb chops or fish, you know.
What are you making for them?
For the
vegetarians?
That's
taking longer, yeah.
Well, it's just cutting all the vegetables, all the greens, all the onions, all the, you know, all the broccoli and cauliflower rice. Have you made that yet with your class? Yeah, I mean, you got a
cauliflower pizza crust. Have you made that?
Actually, that's going to be served at a party. One of our chefs, Krista, is doing on Friday. She's making cauliflower pizzas with roasted veggies as one of the appetizers.
Yeah.
But you don't just, you know, pull out a frozen pie crust. You got to make it. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
All that making bit requires you do some work.
Yeah.
But that's why they're paying you.
Yes.
And you want to explain what a private chef is?
Sure. Well, I kind of think that we're different than a private chef, but I've never really Wikipedia'd it to see exactly. I think that we're more personal chef.
Okay.
In my head, a private chef is someone who really basically you would hire and they would come and cook only for you, like the president might have a private chef or movie stars. As a personal chef, usually people have us come maybe once a week. We do have one client who is ill and on a very low sodium, low caloric diet due to congestive heart failure and some other issues. So we go twice a week so she can have lots of fresh food. But most of our clients are once a week or once every other week, and then they put half in the freezer. And then we also have every 4 weeks. We have clients every 6 weeks. I have a client who's 91, and she, of course, eats tiny amounts of food. So when her freezer is empty, about every 4, 5, or 6 months, she calls.
That's nice.
I love to go help her out. So we each have our own client, though. It's not like we send a different person in. It's not like a cleaning service. We're very personalized. So we're very tuned into you, and we very much are an extension of your family, and we love you, and we hug you.
You're creating relationships with your clients.
Very much so, yes. And feedback is a feedback, you know, even if it is a little bit owie, because we don't want to take it personally, but we do have sensitive souls. But we want to know. We want to know what worked, what didn't work.
Oh, of course.
You know, because then we can tune into your body. We do an hour and a half interview with each of our clients first.
Wow.
Before you even work with them.
Yes. And that gets into the details, not only if they have a specific diet, maybe diet recommended by a nutritionist or a doctor, congestive heart failure, renal diet. We have a new client who's also 88, and she's got stage 4 kidney disease. Mm. So her diet with sodium, potassium, and phosphorus is very specific.
Mm-hmm.
We're not diagnosing that, and we're not prescribing.
Of course.
We're doing what they tell us.
Mm-hmm. And that's an important part of it. And you're listening to Community Radio, WCOM 103.5 FM in Carrboro. Our guest today is Terry McLernan, and she is the food fairy. So when you are working as a personal chef, do you go actually into the person's home to do the cooking?
Yes.
So you take with you the ingredients that you're going, and then you use their kitchen to prepare whatever it is that you're preparing for.
Yes, exactly. So mm-hmm. we'll make a menu plan, and that plan could be made in conjunction with the client if they want to be part of that. We had a client once who actually had a file, a cooking light file, where she would plop in recipes and we'd go to that site and pull out her recipes. We might just send ideas via email or text, what might sound good to the client, mm-hmm. or just say, they might just say, just surprise me, mm-hmm. like Christmas.
Oh, that's fun.
Just open your fridge and go, oh, what did that food fairy make today? So we arrive at the groceries, mm-hmm. we prepare the food, we package it in the client's containers. We recommend glass. Not everybody agrees with that, so we just do what they ask us to do.
Mm-hmm.
That way they can heat it up. We also don't recommend microwaving, but everybody has their own path. And then we make a cover sheet, and we tell you, the client, what has been made and how to what we would serve it with, and how we created the menu so that it was balanced.
Oh, that's clever.
And then the reheating instructions.
So how do you mean what we created so that it's balanced? Can you give me an example of what that looks
right,
like?
Right. So if I made a lemon basil chicken and I made a couscous to go with it, although I don't think anybody eats couscous anymore because everybody's gluten-free.
Yeah.
It seems like.
That's my world.
Yeah. I mean, so many people. And we also tend to have, I don't know, I just sort of got it. It's sort of like an old hat food. But anyway, so let's say couscous.
It is, yeah.
And Moroccan carrots. And then we made a turkey fennel meatloaf with baked sweet potatoes. I might prefer that they serve the sweet potatoes with the turkey meatloaf rather than having the couscous with the turkey meatloaf.
Oh, okay. So it's not each thing is separate in there. The potatoes are different. And they're in a container. You could mix and match whatever you wanted, mm-hmm. but you're just giving them sort of a guideline of how you created it in the first place.
Exactly. The taste profile, what mm-hmm. we think would taste good together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I've always wondered, you know, when you make a lot of food for someone, then, you know, when you go and freeze foods, then you have to think about that ahead of time. What you can freeze so that later when they defrost it and cook it, that it isn't, the texture is okay. So how do you manage? I mean, that's a real issue, I think. How do you manage that? Because do you even know what they're going to be freezing?
Well, if we're cooking for a monthly client, we do know what's going to be frozen because we're going to put one serving of everything in the fridge and the other 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 servings, however many they've asked, in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
For a weekly client, it's not really going in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
We recommend they eat their fish or their shellfish the first night, at the latest the second night. And some people have asked us, well, tell me the order I should eat this.
Mm.
You know, so if you have a spicy mm-hmm. curry or a chili, you can put that off closer to the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to keep mm-hmm. better than your fresh fish. But knowing what freezes is definitely challenging, and my clients have taught me some things.
Like what? What have you learned? Because it's an interesting dilemma, I think, knowing how to freeze things that freeze well.
Well, mostly, I mean, the generic answer is winter vegetables freeze well,
mm-hmm.
right? Kale, collards, broccoli, cauliflower, all those things that can withstand cold weather freeze much better than zucchini, right? Mm-hmm. It just gets watery.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't love frozen food,
mm-hmm.
so I'm very picky about what I'll put in a freezer.
Mm.
Things that are juicy do really well, right? Soups, stews, winter food. I mean, winter foods freeze better than summer foods.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to make summer foods that go in the freezer because you have to add lots of juices and broths, you know, chicken cacciatore, mm-hmm. tomato-based things freeze well.
Mm-hmm.
So ordinarily, when you go to someone's home once a week, how many meals do you prepare when you are there?
an average client will ask us for about 3 different dinners.
I see.
And a dinner could constitute a 1-pot meal. It could have it be a 3-pot meal.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, they don't ask for dessert because generally they're wanting this to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the upside. Then they can go out on weekends or they can, you know, celebrate with the so-called naughty foods. I don't really like that word, but
no.
Or just prepare their own salad if that's what they choose to do on,
yes,
in between times.
And that's one of our questions on our interview is, do you want, if the salad goes with the meal, do you want us to make it or do you want to make it?
Mm-hmm. You prepare, you cook it. You pre-cook it or is it fully cooked?
Oh,
your dishes. Because, you know, that's another whole thing. I mean, I don't think that people are realizing the amount of thought process that goes into your meal planning.
And thank you for bringing it up. Well, fish, we try not to pre-cook for people because it is so delicate and it can get overdone. But I have clients who just want to come home and maybe their teenage daughter likes to pick at it before they get home, from work. So they want their fish pre-cooked.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on the food. We tend to undercook meat so that they're not, especially like a chicken breast,
because
it's going to be so dry.
Yes.
Unless it's in a sauce or cacciatore or whatever. So it is very individualized. Mm-hmm. It is a very, thank you for acknowledging that, because it's a very deep process.
Mm-hmm.
We think about our clients all the time. It's like they're running in the background all the time, because you might eat out and go, oh, I could create this for so-and-so on Friday. They would love this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this background program of thinking about them all the time. Or like the low-sodium client that Crystal cooks for. She actually made sausage, homemade sausage, because it isn't so salty for this client.
That's really nice.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
So it's something that she probably was eating one day and said, oh, you know, boy, so-and-so would really love that. Oh, she can't have it. Oh, I'll just make it, you know. And it's very personal, and it's very intuitive also, right? You kind of have to feel for the client, for the day, for the weather, what's in the market, and then what they like and don't like. We have clients. We have two that are on elimination diets.
Those are difficult to cook for.
Oh, I think they're my favorite. They are really my favorite. So the first one recently who came this year was on about, I think, 25 foods. That included salt.
Oh.
That included basil. That included parsley. And I think she could have cumin. So of the 25 foods, 4 of them were seasonings.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
But salt's important. It's a good one still.
Yes, considering the other ones that can't have salt.
Yeah.
I just loved, I just jumped right in and made, she could have buckwheat. So not too many people do I make buckwheat groats for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. So I made like a spring roll with the paleo wraps that I found. I bumped into at Whole Foods, made out of coconut.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And lentils, coconut oil, a little sweet potatoes, some sugar snap peas that I cut up and made almost like a salad. Mango. She could have mango and lime. I put the mango in for tang and sweetness.
What an interesting list of foods she could have.
It was very interesting.
Mango and buckwheat. And that's just not your normal elimination diet.
No. And then avocado. She could have it with avocado on top.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. It was delicious. It was absolutely delicious.
It sounds delicious. It's nice that it's so personalized. So I like the personal chef part of personal. I mean, it's very personal. It's like if you were cooking it for yourself, really, your family.
Exactly.
The amount of attention and time and thought that you put into it is quite a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that your clients are appreciative and they can taste it in the food, which is why you've been around for 19, almost 20 years, even when you didn't plan on it. Right?
Yeah.
Because when you do something that you do it well, people appreciate it.
And when you love what you do, it isn't just that we do it well, but we really do it with love. We love our clients. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're receptive, we hug them.
Mm-hmm.
If they're there. Sometimes we don't see them very often because they're at work. That was where the name came from, actually. Want to hear that story?
Yes, please.
We're waiting.
So I started the business and was cooking for a couple of ladies who lived in Raleigh and had a computer lab.
Okay.
That was the days not everybody even had a computer, right?
Uh-huh.
And they were in business, so there I am trying to figure out how to be in business. And I had written a little blurb that I was going to put on windshields, like in parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it to them. Oh, imagine coming home after a hard day at work and, you know, the house, the fragrances and the aromas of delicious food are lingering, and you open your fridge and voila, there's all this amazing, right? And as I was reading, she interrupted me, Kathy interrupted me and said, oh, you sound just like a food fairy.
You're like,
I said, I am. My eyes got wide and my mouth fell open. I said, I am. I was maybe 9 months into the business. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I became the food fairy. And then I was cooking for a family, cooking kosher mm-hmm. on Friday nights. I did their Shabbos dinner and then food that they were to eat during the week. I had lived 23 years in the Catskill Mountains of New York, and being a little wasp from Cincinnati, Ohio, I learned a lot about Jewish people and their mm-hmm. diet and kosher and Passover and all that. It was my friends. It was all part of my life. So when this family asked me to cook kosher, I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I don't look like I can.
But. Yeah. But I can.
So their son was quite a techie for 1997 or 98.
Mm-hmm.
And he was maybe 13. And he said, Do you have the URL for that? I'm like, the what?
What?
You need to get the website. And he went and looked for me and came into the kitchen and said, nope, somebody's got it. Somebody in San Diego is delivering groceries. So I took Food Dash Fairy until, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, because I watched that website. She let it go and I bought it.
Nice. Nice.
Good.
It's a good, you even have little fairy wing looking earrings on today. I wish people could see.
I wish you could. Yeah.
Very sweet.
Well, Crystal, who's one of my head fairies, she's been with me the longest. She and her family gave me fairy wings for Christmas 1 year.
They're very sweet. Oh, yeah.
The next year I bought them for her.
Oh.
That's really cute. We've been talking about different kinds of diets and food and what people want. But I know that you understand about the healing power of food. So talk about that a bit.
Why don't we take a break? And then when we come back,
we can
talk about that too.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Because we do need to take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we will talk more with Terry McLernan.
You are listening to WCOMLP Chapel Hill and Carborough, your community-powered 100-watt wonder.
Just cause I knew it wouldn't treat you, I sure hope it will do. And I bear this all out on my sleeve in hopes that maybe you'll leave. I got it bad, you see. No, you gotta find your soul, maybe somewhere on that open road. Yeah, I've been there too. But before you
Welcome to Say Yes to the Chef. We're broadcasting live from Carrboro on 103.5. And today our guest is Terry McLernan from the Food Fairy. But before we do that, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Weaver Street Market, who is having a nice campaign today. I think ends today. It's called Bags of Produce Campaign. It benefits Porch, one of the hunger relief organizations in its community fund partnership program. Shoppers are asked to donate a bag of produce for Porch's Food for Families program. A $30 donation provides a bag of 35 to 40 pounds of fresh vegetables, fruits, and eggs, which is enough for a week's worth of healthy meals, which is fantastic. You can also buy a half bag or a quarter bag donation as well. And again, the campaign runs through today, so if you go in there, you'll see their displays. It's really great, a great program to help those people in need. But today we're talking about Food Fairy, which I do love that name.
I do too.
And it's a really great name. But we were going to talk a little bit about the health and the nutrition side of what you do. And we've kind of already been talking about that because I can see that you have a lot of clients who are coming to you that have particular needs that have been diagnosed by doctors, which is a great way to, because I often run into this problem as a person who specializes in health and nutrition. I am not a nutritionist. I am not a doctor. I don't pretend to be one. And so there is this line where you have to figure out, how do I really support people with the knowledge that I have? Right? Because I'm sure you've been doing this for a while, have a lot of knowledge about food and nutrition and wellness, but not push it so much to the fact that you're trying to prescribe a diet.
Exactly. That's exactly true. But we can always sneak in more vegetables.
Well, we know that. That is true. We're all going to sneak in more vegetables. But that is a line. People will start to ask you about different things. I'm sure you get a lot of questions, and your other chefs get questions about health trends and things like that. And so I worry sometimes that people are going to take something I say and then, I don't know, not find it useful or have something go wrong, and then I'll be held responsible for it. So it's a line that I walk. I don't know how you guys do.
But we're not really in conversation with them so much about what it is they want or need. Mm-hmm. When we do our hour and a half interview, they're talking to us. Mm-hmm. And if they say, well, what do you think? Then I can say, well, I think I'd rather use butter than margarine for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then we can go from there.
And you tell them why.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think because you have that relationship with them, and even at the beginning, they can see that you're forming that relationship and that there is trust that you form with them. I mean, they let you into their house.
Into their house.
Often when they're not there.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, yes. So you really better trust the Food Fairy.
Some of them leave us blank checks.
Oh, my God.
I'm serious. Not just one or two.
Wow, that is really impressive.
Talk about trust. I love it.
Oh, gosh, back in the beginning there, was doing a party for a dentist in Raleigh. I never met him. I was really within the first, I don't know, couple of years of the business. And he left his door open for me. I'd never met him. I was coming to do a romantic dinner. His wife or girlfriend was coming, and I needed to get in there ahead of time while he was still working. I said, you don't even know me. And he said, oh, down south, we're very friendly. We're very trusting down here. I'm like, okay.
Well, he must have trusted the right person.
Right. Well, off track a little bit, but that day his wife actually came home early and saw this strange woman in her kitchen.
Oh, God.
That's great story.
What happened?
I said, surprise, I'm your Food Fairy for today. Your husband has planned a very special romantic dinner for you. And she went in and looked at the table, which had rose petals all over it.
Oh,
yeah, she forgave me.
That's a great story.
It is a great story. I love it.
Well, I'm glad she didn't jump to conclusions very fast.
Well, her eyes indicated that she was a little jumping deeply inside.
Right.
But back to learning from our clients about nutrition, too. Mm-hmm. One of my clients in the 90s, I believe, was on a weight loss diet that a doctor, a local holistic doctor, had recommended. Mm-hmm. And it was an online diet, Food for Life, Body Makeover diet. And I didn't think I would ever learn it. It had so many particulars, and he was a particular eater. He didn't really like a lot of vegetables, and it was so many ounces. You know, if it was fish, you could have 4 or 5 ounces. If it was pork or beef, you could have 2 or 3 ounces, but you ate 6 times a day. And we cooked twice a week and put little containers that said he had his own breakfast, which was cereal with milk. He wasn't supposed to have dairy. That was his body type. Some people could, depending on your body type. So
it was the body type diet.
No, it wasn't the body type.
Oh, no.
No.
I don't know this one. That's like a pain in the...
sounds
like a lot.
Once I learned it, it went very easily. It went very smoothly. And he had containers in his refrigerator stacked from the top, a.m. snack, lunch, p.m. snack, dinner, bedtime snack.
Wow.
And that he lost 150 pounds that year.
Oh, my gosh.
In a year?
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot to use. That is a lot.
He worked out. Yeah. You know, he worked out. He didn't eat anything. The kitchen was mine. He ate nothing anywhere else. He was overweight from fast food, from a stressful job and on the run. Mm-hmm. I really learned about what helps you lose weight and the portion sizes. I learned that from that cooking for him. Yeah, and then he fell in love and got married. And I catered his wedding.
Oh.
That's a great story, too. Yeah. It's a wonderful story.
Yeah. Wow. So what did you learn from that experience about weight loss? Because that's a tricky subject.
Well, it was eating frequently, portion control. And he couldn't eat a whole apple. That freaked me out. I was like, any diet that says you can't eat a whole apple. But I would cut it into, he ate a whole apple throughout the day. So when he ate it, the apple, a third of an apple, maybe a quarter of an apple, if it was a really big one, it was always with protein. Mm-hmm. It was a little piece of leftover pork or chicken or whatever, because there was no dairy, so there was a piece of meat. So over the course of the day, he would probably eat a pound of protein, maybe 14, 16 ounces of protein, and he would maybe have a whole apple. Mm-hmm. And he could have other fruit, but he was fussy, like I said. So berries weren't as... recognized as a power food back then. I don't remember where berries were in his diet. Maybe he didn't even like them. I don't remember.
But that's really remarkable.
Yeah, he could have mashed potatoes, but like a third of a cup.
Yes.
Right?
You had to... Then he really got his money's worth with
he
you.
Did. And so did I.
Yeah.
Because I learned so much.
Yeah. What a great experience, though. And really... interesting that it lasted that long, that he kept up with it. And I bet he kept up with it because you made it easy for him to keep up with it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, could you imagine someone doing all of that and working and having whatever else, and then that they wouldn't keep up with it? That's the problem with a lot of diets, is it's just a lot of work.
A lot of prep.
And so if you have somebody else to do it for you, then that's fantastic.
And he could grab those containers and be gone all day.
That is really impressive.
And he was eating just the right foods. It was his fast food. It was his new fast food.
Yes. That's really clever. You can probably have a whole brand just around that. Because a lot of people try to do that, but they aren't successful because they just don't have the time or the knowledge of how to put all those things in place to make it very easy for people to succeed.
Yeah.
Which is what you did.
It was a little pricey, though.
Well,
so not everybody could do it, but you could do it for yourself.
Yes.
You know, you could take a Sunday afternoon and pack it all up. And that, my DVD, my cook-along DVD.
Oh, yes. Talk about that.
Yeah. It's called Cook Once, Eat for Weeks, and it was done a few years ago, but it's still very, very trendy, and it's still very pertinent to today's life. When you get the DVD, it's basically doing for yourself what we do for you as personal chefs. Because I realize that not everybody can afford a personal chef, myself included, right? and so we need to think ahead. And the planning and the organization of it is the biggest part.
Yes.
I could liken it to painting a wall, right? What do you have to do first? You got to spackle and sand and do all that. And then you got to prime it. And then finally, you get to put the paint on.
Well,
that's
you
got to
pick out the paint, which is a whole other.
Well, that's true.
That can take me a long time.
Right, and that's like menu planning, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So then you finally get to put the paint on. So getting into the kitchen is the fun part.
Yes.
But all that stuff leading up to that takes a lot of time and takes organization. So when the cook wants to eat for weeks, it's done for you. You have 3 different dinners that will be created, 10 to 12 or 8 to 12 servings mm-hmm. of each. And you'll download the grocery list. You can do the vegetarian version or the meat version. You'll download an equipment checklist so that all your pots and pans are handy, mm-hmm. so you don't have to go looking for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the groceries, so everything will be put out. So you'll go to the store, and if you already have fish sauce in your fridge, you have to take it out. Because then we cook for 90 minutes in real time.
Mm. Oh, so people turn the DVD on and cook with you on the DVD.
Yes.
Okay. That's wonderful.
It is a cook-along.
Uh-huh.
So
mm-hmm.
at the end of 90 minutes, you have all this food prepared that then you can turn around and package and put in the fridge or freezer.
Mm,
yeah, and then you have to do the dishes.
Well, if you have a really great dishwasher, that works.
Even
yeah,
a spouse to be, you know,
or someone
teenager.
To help you.
Yeah, my mom and dad used to call us the dishwashers. I don't need a dishwasher. I have five of them.
Right, exactly.
How fascinating. So you have the one video, and then you have three meals on that video.
Exactly.
So
yes.
Do you have other meal plans on other videos, or are you...
No, unfortunately, the woman that was my videographer and my very dear friend, at the end of the filming of that, she got cancer. She was diagnosed with cancer.
Mm.
And so everything got put on hold and was delayed, and I was her friend instead of a business comrade at that time. She did end up passing away. It's going to be four years ago, and we had plans for many more.
Mm.
But I had borrowed money for this, and I always knew the food fairy could support me and help me pay those loans back. So if the DVD didn't actually make enough money to pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what's happened. I always thought that the DVD might go into wellness programs for corporations and be sold not mm-hmm. one by one, but thousand by thousand.
Right. Mm-hmm. That would be a good idea.
Yeah. It is a good idea.
So recently, a company, a startup, Advanced Wellness Systems, is creating software for companies. And they actually did my cook-along. Three of the women in this group did it and gave me direct feedback, which was so awesome.
Nice.
So
that's good.
And their feedback was amazing. I mean, they loved it. I said, is it still current? You know, and they're like, yes, it totally is very important, because we have little blips, little lines that go across the screen telling you little nutritional tips mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. little stories, mm-hmm. little things mm-hmm. come by. Mm-hmm. It's
that's
fun. You can
nice.
See a trailer for it on my website.
Yeah.
For the DVD?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun. I pop in, right?
Right.
Yep.
It's magic.
Like the food fairy is magical.
I said to Linda, I want to do that. She said, I don't know how we're going to do that. I said, Samantha and Bewitched did it.
And that was a long time ago.
Then certainly you can do it.
You can make this happen. I know. And she did.
Well, you set the bar pretty high, Samantha and Bewitched.
You did. So the healing power of food is the thread that I see through everything that you do.
Oh, you're so right. Thank you.
It is. It's there.
But in many ways. Not just in the actual food content, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. So your philosophy about that, and how did that come about?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, it started off simply that I love what I do.
Mm-hmm.
My very first
key ingredient,
love what you do. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I remember my very first client, the very first day. I mean, I took a knife. It wasn't even a good knife, wrapped in a dish towel into her house and cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, she said, okay, let me pay you. And I was like, oh, wow, I actually get paid. And I read in a book somewhere that mm-hmm. if you're trying to figure out what it is you should do for a living, think mm-hmm. about what you would do for free.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And if you would do it for free, that might be a good career.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, love. So love what you do. Falling in love with your clients. That interview is so helpful for us to open our hearts, to hear their story, to listen to them, and know that we can meet them where they need to be, that we don't have to use our agenda.
Yes,
you know,
that's a good
one. This
isn't
about what I want. This isn't about butter versus margarine. This is about what you want. What you want and what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, of course, I love food. It's kind of like, you know, people ask me what my religion is, and I go, it's food. Well, not really. Actually, my religion really is love and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so You spent some time in Brazil, and did that have any influence on this philosophy?
Well, it supported it, yes. So that's a great question. Thank you. So I did go to this place in Brazil in a little town called Abajania, and there's a healer there. His name is John of God, or Joao de Deus. You can Google him with Oprah. She went.
And I have a friend. Who goes?
And you have a friend who goes?
For, what, 11 years or something? John Orr?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've been 6 years. Mm-hmm. And actually this year I was an assistant to Barbara Brodsky, who's a Vipassana meditation teacher.
Yes, I know her.
She asked for an assistant, and I had mm-hmm. been 5 years. So
oh, wonderful.
I was able to facilitate her spending more time on her own healing. Mm. For me, I don't have cancer or anything that's really a strong physical problem. Pretty much I'm going for my own emotional, my soul healing. I don't know. It's time to get in touch with me. I also get fed.
That and more than just food.
Oh, more than just food. The vegetables. I mean, oh. 3 meals a day in the little
posada.
It's all
vegetarian, too.
Well, no, there's chicken.
Oh, they do have chicken.
They do have
for
chicken.
For some reason, I was under the impression that they were doing vegetarian.
They offer that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is... there. Uh-huh. So it's vegetarian. There's very little cheese, which I love cheese, but I get along great without it there. because instead you get watermelon after lunch and you get flan and pudding after dinner. But I actually lost weight and all my thyroid, I do have an underactive thyroid, and coincidentally I had it tested right when I got back this year. And for the first time since 1990, I actually need less medication.
Oh my goodness.
So, I don't know.
That's
I didn't specifically ask for help with that while I was there, but just delving within, having quiet time, sitting in a place in the room when people are coming to see John of God to ask for help, because he himself is not doing the work. He's actually in a trance, and he's channeling entities. Mm. So this all is very woo-woo. They're all Catholic. Mm-hmm. It's a very Catholic mm-hmm. country. Mm-hmm. They say the Lord's Prayer, and mm-hmm. they say the Hail Mary always before mm-hmm. and after, and it's very God and driven, but it is a spiritist philosophy, mm-hmm. so meaning that you believe that there are spirits on the other side of life that can help us. Mm-hmm. So he's channeling. People are coming from all over the world to go past him.
Thousands of people.
Thousands.
Oh, my goodness.
Sometimes
from
a day.
From all over the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
I like to sit in what they call the current. So it's the first room that you would pass through where people are sitting with their eyes closed and they're praying or meditating or calming themselves, finding themselves in a clear space in the center as best they can. Not everybody's a trained meditator or prayer, but I like to sit there. And sometimes you sit there for at least probably 2 to 3 hours, often 4 or 5 hours. And that's the miracle. Like, I can't hardly sit still in my own house.
How do you sit still for that long?
Because it's magic. There's magic there. And you have the energy of all the people. Mm-hmm. And I like to sit there and send out light and love to the people. And I get distracted, obviously. I'm a human. My brain goes other places.
Yes. And it's allowed.
I send light and love. Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's one of my favorite things to do. Mm-hmm. But this year I was thinking about the food fairy, and I've asked for help there for the food fairy. Last year was the best year in all the years. The best year. I had the most amazing staff. Mm-hmm. Crystal, Karen, Beckett, Lynette, Jan, and Krista. Amazing, beautiful women. I asked for help. They've all showed up in my life. In the life of the food fairy and in the life of our clients. So I asked, what is it that I do? How can I teach what I do, like what makes what I've created and I've done special? Mm. And I was just walking down the street one day and it was like, oh, duh, it's love. It's love.
The missing ingredient.
Yeah, it was just so apparent and so much of, mm-hmm. I guess, who I am and, mm-hmm. and what I do. So,
and you have a quote by Deepak Chopra that I think is lovely.
I do. Here it is. He said, prana is the vital life force of the universe, the cosmic force, and it goes into you, into me, with food. When you cook with love, you transfer the love into the food, and it is metabolized.
That's perfect. That is exactly right.
It is.
Yes.
And so one of the things that I want to reaffirm for all of the food fairies. And actually, just let me say as an aside, they're all women, but I'm not, that's not planned. Mm-hmm. It just seems to be a perfect job for moms. Right.
If so a dude fairy, kids can do that easily because they can make their own hours.
Yeah, when the kids are saying? In bed, they can plan the menu. Uh-huh. They get up, get the kids to school. I mean, I was a single mom. That's when I started it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not opposed to a dude fairy showing up. but right now it's all ladies. So the idea of when I'm sitting in that current and I'm sending out light. Someone taught me to send, to sort of allow that light to enter through the top of my head and come out of my heart. It was also made aware to me that we could actually send it into my, through the top of my head, down to the base chakra, if you're into chakras, or down your spine, however you want to think about your body and your energy, and then back up to the heart and out the arms and out through your fingers.
Oh.
And that was, yes, just to do a couple of breaths and imagine, pretend this light, this divine loving light is there. And then we can literally put even more healing energy into the food than we are just naturally doing. And so one of the things that I am really eager to do, and this idea came to me sitting in the current a couple of years ago. I wrote it in a journal, you know, on the other side of life or, you know, in the bigger scheme of thing, I think time is very different than it is for us. So 2 years might not have been that long for me to catch on. So at the casa, they call it the Casa de Dominacio, they give you blessed soup. So after the morning current, you can go have the soup that is made by volunteers. People cut all the vegetables, and then I think volunteers actually put together these huge, huge vats of soup. And Joao also has a soup kitchen on the other side of town for just anybody not associated with the casa. So it's free soup. And so I got this idea that, wow, wouldn't it be great if the food fairy could actually, you know, give out free soup, right? And so I sort of envisioned like a food truck, right, with wings.
Oh, that open up, like where you would come. You know, like where you, where the door pops up. The window, the ordering window pops up. You could have one on each side with the wings.
The wings going up. I like that.
That would be great.
Yeah, that's perfect. And so, and that it would be blessed soup. And I asked Barbara Brodsky, well, how, you know, how's it going to be blessed? And then I was like, well, you can do it. You can do it. Or you can also invite whatever saints or higher powers that you believe in to come and help you bless the soup. And then I said, well, is it more powerful nutritionally if it's blessed? And the answer was yes, absolutely. Two times more nutritionally beneficial.
Oh, how did they know two times?
I don't know.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it's two times.
But whether it is or isn't.
Excellent.
But if you believe it is.
Yeah, it is. It's in the sleep.
It is. I mean, ask our clients how much love they taste in the food, right? So then I'm just moving forward with this idea of, well, let's see, what if we took a bunch of food trucks that were off duty on their off-duty days and supplied them with the soup that was made in a commercial kitchen with made by volunteers who were loving and nurturing and care. And the vegetables could be donated by the end of the farmer's market or restaurants or grocery stores who aren't using it. And then we could have these mobile units go, you know, everywhere. They don't, I mean, right here in Carborough, we don't have as many people who need it. I've heard that our poverty on the eastern part of North Carolina is quite profound. So I would love to see it move.
Even within Orange County, we have a lot of.
We do.
I mean, people don't think.
Yeah.
But we have talked to a lot of people who support. That's the service that they're in. And we have a lot.
We've worked with Table and other, yes. And they're,
one in
they're
four children go hungry here in Orange County.
Yes, right here.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And Chatham, too.
Yeah, well, Chatham's a little
more.
Higher, yeah.
Yeah. I'm involved with Cora, our food pantry there.
Yeah, exactly.
As the food fairy has grown, I've been giving more, you know, dollars towards food. But if I could bring about this mobile
blessed
soup kitchen.
That's a great idea.
Soup. It's a wonderful idea.
Oh, thank you.
It's a great idea. And we have
to go. I'm buzzing.
We have to go. Terry McLennan, we could talk for another hour, I'm sure.
We could.
Thank you so much for being here. We've been talking to the Food Fairy for the last hour. So if you or someone you know has a food message appropriate to this show, please contact us at our Facebook page, Yes to the Chef. We would love to hear from you. And please like us on our Facebook page, Yes to the Chef. And for more information and to listen to all the previous podcasts and to this one in particular, be sure to visit our website, www.yestothechef.com. And we're Kelly Taylor, natural chef and instructor, and I'm Janice Escott, Cordon Bleu chef and instructor. And we thank Weaver Street Markets in Southern Village, Carborough, and Hillsborough for their support. And please join us here on WCOM 103.5 FM every Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Happy cooking, Kelly.
Happy cooking.
Happy cooking, Terry. Oh. Thank you so much for coming. It's been delightful.
It has been delightful. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and happy cooking to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moments are left. Steal this love from my lips before the clock chimes and we have to give it back again. Curse all this space in between your heart, the places I will be, and these restless feet, though they have brought about the best in me.